The following is a lecture to devotees, college students, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on November 17th, 2011, in Pune, India.
So you all are pursuing higher education? Higher education.
They're doing the Bachelor's of Engineering.
Do you call that higher education?
Yeah.
You do? Yeah. I don't. I don't call that higher education. You're pursuing lower education, but here you're pursuing higher education. I was tricking you, actually. Raja Vijaya Raja Ghuyam Vavittam Idamuttamam. This is higher education, Bhagavad Gita. But lower education is okay. It's confirmed in the Ishapanishad. Vijyam cha vijyam yashta vedo vayam saha. Along with, you do vidya and avidya side by side. So your program is a vidya and vidya side by side. And that's approved in the Sri Ishapanishad. So tonight we will read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 7, text number 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Daivihyesha gunamayi
Daivihyesha gunamayi
Mama maya duratyaya
Mama maya duratyaya
Mameva ye prapadyante
Mameva ye prapadyante
Mayam me tam tarantite
Mayam me tam tarantite.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of His energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal superior nature of the Lord, but due to contamination by the inferior nature matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nitya Badha, are eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history as he is becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult, even though that material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm this as follows: Mayang tu Purkatim Vidyang Mayinam tu Maheshwaram. Although Maya illusion is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the supreme magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwar, the supreme controller. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 4:10. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna, or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service, or Krishna consciousness, can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul and out of his paternal affection for the living entity, who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender under the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. The words mam eva are also significant. Mam means unto Krishna, Vishnu only, and not Brahma or Shiva. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of Rajagun, passion, and Tamagun, ignorance, to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya, and therefore he alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Vedas, Svetashvatara Upanishad 3:8, confirm this in the phrase, Tam eva viditva. Freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms this, that liberation can be achieved only by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, Mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnur eva nasangshayaha. There is no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vidam Dham Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakan Vidamscha. Maya's pretty heavy. Not pretty heavy, very, very heavy. Very heavy. Do you know how long you've been in the clutches of Maya? You don't. You can't know. It's beyond our comprehension how long we've been in the clutches of Maya. Prabhupada's pointing out here, you can't trace out any time in material history when you became conditioned. That's how long you've been in Maya. You can't calculate it when it began. It's incalculable. The moment of falling down is incalculable. We've been here for so long, you can't calculate it. So you can understand, if you've been for millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions of eons, you've been in this conception that you're the Lord of all you survey. It might be difficult to give up, to get free of that. You understand? And well, maybe it's hard to get out of Maya if I've been conditioned for so long. Practically speaking, it's impossible to get out of it. It's like in a high security prison. There's no way you can escape. No way you can get out. Low security prison, sometimes they escape. But high security prison, no way to get out. So the material nature is the highest security prison. There's no way you can ever get out unless you're released by the supreme governmental head, under whose authority the prison operates. Then you can easily get out. So we have to get the grace of Krishna. We have to somehow qualify ourselves to get the special release papers signed by Krishna. So the good news is we don't have to guess how to get that special boon from the Lord. We don't have to guess. He's telling us exactly what to do. It's actually very simple to get released from the material nature. All you have to do is follow the instructions. The Bhagavad Gita is the instructions of what you have to do to qualify to get your release papers signed by Krishna. So the doors of the prison are open, you can immediately leave them. You see. So all you really have to do is be humble and take the instructions. Say, okay. All you have to do is, if you just be humble, you take the instructions and do exactly what Krishna says, and the doors will open for you, you see. The insurmountable material energy will become insignificant for you. Samashratage palapallava plavam mahatpadang punya jasho murare bhavam vadir vatsa parang param padam 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 yadvipadam nate sham. You know that shloka? So nice. Shakespeare cannot compete with Srila Vyasa. So nice. For those who take shelter of the boat at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, who is the shelter of the causing manifestation and who is the annihilator of that rascal demon named Mura. This vast, insurmountable ocean of material existence becomes reduced down to this much of Vatsapadam, footprint of a cat. Can easily cross beyond it. Their aim is that Vaikuntha realm, Parampadam, not that place where there is danger at every step, Pune. It's a beautiful, beautiful shloka. If the boat, normally if there's a boat, you get on the boat and you sail across the ocean. And then once the boat sets sail, all the people on the shore who missed the boat, you see, if you're too late for the launch of the boat, then you have to wait for it to come back again a long time later. But if the ocean is so small, the boat doesn't ever have to leave the harbor, you see. All you do is get on the boat and you're liberated. You know, the boat is so big and the ocean is so small. You just get on the boat, you're already liberated as soon as you get on the boat. So it's like that. You don't have to worry about crossing over the ocean of birth and death. You don't have to worry about it. Just get on the boat. You're liberated. Prabhupada says, even in the training period, Vaidhi Bhakti. See, the goal is Raga Bhakti, Prema Bhakti. Where you regain your sarup in the spiritual sky as one of the, you know, the Lord's eternal associates. But even in the training period, Vaidhi Bhakti, and we're doing all the rules and regulations, working really hard to get rid of that lust, that anger, that greed, that madness, that illusion, that envy. Even in the training period, Prabhupada says, one can be liberated. So, even in the training period. This is confirmed by Rupa Goswami. Iha yashahir dashe karmana manasa gira Nicholas Vapyavastasu Jivan Muktasa Uchite. One who engages fully his body, mind, and words in the service of Lord Sri Krishna is already a liberated soul in all conditions of material existence. That means that when you're going to for a higher education here or a lower education on the outside, involved in all conditions of material existence, you can be a liberated soul. You see? But what's the catch? Body, mind, and words fully engaged in Krishna's service. That's the kid. Just putting tilak on your nose and kantimal on your neck doesn't mean you're a liberated soul. You see? You have to put them in your heart also. Put kantimala in your heart and tilak in your heart also. You see? Tilak heart. You see? Yes, I belong to Krishna. See, we bark this body is the property of God, you see. This is God's property. Put the sign of God on our forehead. This body now belongs to God. It's not... not mine, it belongs to God. It's God's property. So, we have to fully enter that consciousness within our hearts. Yes, I belong to Krishna. I don't belong to anybody else. Why? Because Krishna says, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, I own everything. So am I not part of everything? No, I am also part of everything. Therefore, if Krishna owns everything, he must own me also. I am simply part of Krishna's paraphernalia. Part, a little tiny piece of his energy, you see. That's who I am. Krishna wants us to serve him. But he doesn't force us to serve him. Why? The service he's not really interested in. He wants to love. See, there's someone who hates you and you to force them to serve you. There's no satisfaction in being served by them. But if someone serves you out of love, oh, that's very satisfying. So Krishna gives us the free will. We can love him or we can leave him. That is our choice. Some people say, well, why Krishna is so cruel? He allows people to make the mistake of coming to the material world, that God is cruel, they say. But no, that's not true. Just consider an ordinary parent. Does the parent think, well, I want to make sure my child never gets in trouble during his whole life, so I'm just going to chain him to his bed. I'll keep him as a prisoner in his room for his whole life, you see. That way this child will never get into trouble. He'll never, you know, do something bad because I'll keep him chained to his bed all the time. Is that a loving parent? No. It's a cruel parent, you see. A loving parent will give the child education, give the child love, and let the child freely pursue their life's goals, you see. So you think God is not on that high level? He can't even be an ordinary nice parent? He has to keep everybody as a slave in his kingdom and not allow anybody to leave? Okay, you're all forced to stay here. It's like you all come here. You're happy. You come here voluntarily. And someone put a gun on your head and forced you to come here and said, if you leave, we're going to shoot you. You wouldn't have the same feeling, you see. You wouldn't have the same feeling. Because the devotees have given you their love and they're giving you education. You're inspired to come here and be here and do service in this or a similar situation. I think there's 12 different bases. I heard 12. You many from many different bases here tonight? Yes? Okay. So, that we have the ability to love Krishna or to leave Krishna, that enables us then to actually love Him. If you do not have the choice, you cannot actually love Him. So having the ability to make the mistake is actually necessary so that we can actually love Him. And if you choose to love Krishna, He will shower His mercy like torrents of rain during the monsoon season, Prabhupada said. If you decide to love Krishna, then you have the most wonderful, wonderful life ahead of you. Wonderful, wonderful life. What will happen to you? What will happen to you if you choose to give your love to Krishna instead of to sex life or intoxication or money or fame? What will happen to you if you choose to give your love to Krishna? In due course, Krishna will reveal Himself to you. That's what will happen. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundarama chintyuganasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham pajami. If there's any questions, write them on paper and pass them forward. There are questions already? Are there blank pieces of paper? Go ahead and pass out the blank pieces. Start writing down your questions. As soon as we get the questions written down, we'll go into the question and answer mode. Actually, as soon as the first question is written, can pass it forward and I'll start answering questions now. So, the point is, if you give your love to Krishna, Krishna will become visible to you in due course of time. Krishna is very particular. He doesn't reveal Himself to the lusty people, to the envious people, to the greedy people, to the illusioned, envious, insane people. He doesn't reveal Himself to them. He reveals Himself to those who are pure, the pure devotees. So strive for purity through the sadhana bhakti process, having faith, associating with pure devotees, getting initiated with the bona fide spiritual master who will engage you in following the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. And in this way you'll get free of all the dirt in your heart. You being solidly fixed up devotee, nishta, then you'll get taste for the name, taste for the service, taste for the association. Everything will become very, very sweet. And then you become completely attached to Krishna, totally attached. And then you go higher still beyond sadhana to the perfectional stages, bhava and prem. Bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, spontaneous love. Well, you remember who you actually are in your eternal pastime with Krishna. We shouldn't try to jump prematurely to that stage. we have to work very hard to cleanse our dirt, cleanse the dirt out of our hearts. That anartha nivritti stage is very, very, very important stage. Get qualified for initiation, and then you have to work very, 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 very hard for many, many, many years to cleanse your heart of that contamination. It's accumulated for millions and billions of lifetimes. Is there any questions yet? Okay, first question. Please guide me how to develop taste for chanting our rounds attentively and how to strive for purity. Okay, two questions. Well, the beauty of ruchi is this. You actually have ruchi already. You already have taste of ruchi within you. Because formerly you were an eternal associate of the Lord in His eternal pastime. So that taste is lying there dormant within you right now. It's lying there dormant within you. So all you have to do, it's Prabhupada compares it to striking a match. The match has fire within it already. So all you have to do is strike it, and the fire comes out. So sadhana bhakti is the striking process. You see, we're striking that match, and then as you reawaken in your original nature, that taste will come automatically. You don't have to force yourself to have taste. There's no question of forcing yourself to have a taste. Taste comes naturally. I give you a glob jamun and say, I'll force yourself to relish the taste of this glob jamun. Do you have to force yourself to relish the taste of the glob jamun? No. It's very tasty. It naturally tasty. Not that I had to force myself. I had to force myself to taste this glob jamun. No, it naturally has to. The name has so much sweetness that one little mouth can't even capture all of it, or two little ears. That's why Rupa Goswami prays to have millions of mouths and billions and trillions of ears, so he can get at least some of that nectar, at least a little bit more of that nectar out of the name. So if you will strictly follow the regulated principles, if you will become initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, follow the sadhana bhakti process as Prabhupada has so painstakingly taught us, then you will, that taste will naturally come. And the complete purity will naturally come. Okay, next question. How can one always remain faithful to the words of the spiritual master throughout the life and absence of him? If you think he's absent, you will have difficulties. Some of the critics of our movement say, well, your movement is finished because you don't have any Mahabhagavata to guide you. This is complete rubbish. Prabhupada is sitting in the heart of every single sincere Prabhupada Nuga, disciple or grand disciple, who's sincerely trying to serve his mission. He's sitting in the heart of everyone. And I'm sure there's thousands and thousands of such sincere followers in ISKCON. So Prabhupada is in the heart, your initiating spiritual master is in the heart. If you think they're absent, then you're going to have a hard time being faithful, I'll be honest. There's a saying, when the cat's away, the mice will play. If you think your spiritual master is now gone, then your tendency will be to engage in nonsense. But when you realize your spiritual master is fully present, then you wouldn't dare do any nonsense. So that's how to always remain faithful. Always keep your spiritual master in your heart by your loving devotion. That's how we do Guru Puja every day. To take shelter of Krishna One must follow the instructions of the senior authority, but due to the conditionings, we are not able to fully follow the instructions sometimes to how to rise above the conditionings. Practice, practice, practice. It's like someone's learning to play a musical instrument. They go to their lesson with the teacher. The teacher says, no, that's wrong. Why are you playing it that way? You're supposed to do it this way. Now go home and practice and come back next week. And let's see if you can master that technique on the guitar, whatever, sitar, piano, whatever instrument it may be. So how do you overcome the bad habits? You have to be shown what is the right thing, and then you have to practice it until it becomes second nature, until it becomes automatic. Practice, practice, practice. That's the answer. Sadhana, sadhana, sadhana. Krishna consciousness seems to be so difficult at this stage, where internally, externally, there is so much struggle during the student life. How do we develop the tolerance for these things and practice Krishna consciousness nicely? I can tell you right now, there's two types of bhakti. There's sakama with material desires, mixed with material desires, and akama with no material desires. If you're having difficulty, that means you're still trying to do sakama bhakti with material desires. Bhakti is very easy. Pure bhakti, akama bhakti, is very easy thing. Very easy. If you're having difficulty, it means you're still trying to have fulfilled your material desires. You're still thinking, I am great. By my power, I will be successful. You see, it's a subtle worship of yourself. You understand? Just like Draupadi, when they were stripping her of her sadis. She says, by my strength, I will protect myself and I'll also ask for Krishna. That's a mixture, you see. She was in great difficulty. But then she said, I can't do anything. I'm fully dependent on Krishna. Both hands. Then she had unlimited sari. See, if you're having difficulty, that means you're thinking, you're holding onto the sari with one hand and calling to Krishna with the other hand. That's your problem, Prabhu. You're having difficulty. You're like Draupadi in the phase one. You're holding on, thinking, by my strength, I will accomplish. And Krishna, help me. You see? It's not pure bhakti. So you have to come to a kama with both hands to Krishna. Then it'll be very easy to practice Krishna consciousness, whether in your lower education, higher education, wherever you are. It'll be very easy. Please tell me why Prabhupada took 11 years to take Diksha from Guru. You have to ask Prabhupada. We can only speculate. One thing is, because of his business, he was located far away. Guru Maharaj was in Calcutta, he was in Allahabad. How many kilometers is that? It's quite a distance. And there was no airplanes in there. He was physically very far removed. There was no Gaudiya Math devotees in Allahabad. But finally when they came, it was a big thing. And after that, he did get initiated because he was cut off physically from the contact with the Gaudiya Math. How did it develop determination to stay away from things unfavorable for bhakti? Many people write me who have trouble with internet porno. So one solution they do is they don't let the brahmacharis have access to the internet. But you have internet access here for your studies? No. Yes or no? Yeah, they do have. So, and to be very careful. See, when I was a brahmachari, there was no internet. Porno was very difficult to get to. You'd have to walk to go to some store and buy a Playboy magazine. Of course, we were not interested in such things. But it was much more difficult to get these sort of contaminating things, you know, when I joined the brahmachari. Now it's very, the internet makes things very, very, it's very dangerous. As soon as you get on that computer and on the internet, it's very dangerous. So one has to be very, very determined. You have to be chaste, very chaste. Not just a show, but I mean the demigods can see, Krishna can see everything. Prabhupada told us in Vrindavan that Krishna has a book and Yamaraj has a book. And both of them are noting down what you're doing. It's being recorded, everything you're doing. And someone thinks, well, nobody's around, you know, everybody's asleep, and just me with the computer all alone, and let me do a little click, 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 and see what I can see. You're being observed by higher authorities, and it's all being noted down. So on one level, just for the fear of suffering the reactions, one should be determined to stay away from unfavorable things. That's one level. The other level is, I mean, why would you want to throw some sand in the sweet rice? Here I am relishing the sweetest nectar, Krishna consciousness. Why would I want to throw some lust in, some anger, some grief? Why would I want to throw any, mix anything in with it? You know? Why would you want to put some sand in the sweet rice? Does it make any sense? You see? It's like, can relish the beauty of Krishna. Oh, he's so beautiful. And you can actually get unlimited nectar from that beauty of Krishna. And you think, well, that's pretty nice, but look at that pretty girl over there. Wow. Look at her hips. Look at her breasts. Wow. Is it worth it? No. It may seem, but it's some rajasic happiness. It may seem very pleasurable to meditate in a young girl's body, you see. It may seem very pleasurable. But actually, all it's doing is like taking a knife and putting a knife into your head. One has to realize these things, how dangerous it is to, even in your mind, to flirt with Maya like that. Some brahmacharis have trouble masturbating. They get so, minds are so agitated, they masturbate. They pass seminar because they're so carried away by these thoughts, you see. So one has to be very, very staunch and realize that I have no one but Krishna. No one but Krishna. Only Krishna can give me the satisfaction. So if one has the understanding and the realization, determination follows automatically. Okay. Krishna is all attractive, then why are people reluctant today to Krishna consciousness? Everybody is attracted to Krishna. Krishna is all attractive, and everybody's attracted to Krishna, that's a fact. But some are attracted to his front, and the others attracted to his back. You see? His spiritual nature and the material nature. Everybody's attracted to Krishna, but they're just coming in the wrong way. That's all, coming in the back door. Why are they reluctant? Because they thought the back door was the front door. They've been conditioned to coming in the wrong way, coming to Krishna in the wrong way for so many lifetimes. They think that the back door is the front door. One novelist, he wrote a novel, I've been down so long. Down means, you know, miserable. I've been down so long, it looks like up to me. In other words, he's been miserable for so long, now that misery appears to be happiness. So in this way they become conditioned to think that sense gratification is wonderful. I do not feel like reading Srila Prabhupada's books, though I like to hear lectures on kirtans. Why so much focus on reading Prabhupada's books? Do you think Prabhupada's books are not kirtans? This means the mode of ignorance. This devotee is influenced by the mode of ignorance. No offense, but I have to tell the truth. He's influenced by the mode of ignorance. He doesn't realize that Prabhupada's books are the ultimate kirtan. They're vibrating through the whole universe. If you like kirtan, Prabhupada's books are the ultimate kirtan. And Brihat Mridanga. And they're the topmost lectures. So please, Prabhu, come out of the mode of ignorance. Read Prabhupada's books. And just do it for 15 minutes a day. If you can't do it much, 15 minutes a day. At the end of the day, say, okay, now, before I take rest, I'm going to read for 15 minutes, or any time. In the morning, it's all very good. What I used to do in my brahmachari life, I got a very good example. One of my god brother, he was the temple cook, and he had to go to the kitchen right after Mangal Arati. So when's he going to do his rounds? He had to cook the whole day, deity sweets, the noon offering, the evening offering. He was, you know, he had a huge marathon every day in that kitchen. So how's he going to do his japa? He has to, during the japa period, he has to cook breakfast for all these hungry brahmacharis, you see. So what he would do, he'd get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, chain his rounds. When all the brahmacharis are in the prasadam room taking breakfast, the brahmachari ashram became very peaceful and quiet. And he would take a nap every day during breakfast. Like, you could set your watch, oh, Ramnath Sukha just laid down for his nap, it must be 8:30. Yep, right at 8:30. It's like clockwork. You could set your watch by when he took his nap every morning. He was so regulated. So I was thinking, this looks really nice. I'm going to do it too. And I got to read every morning then during the Brahma Muhurta, because I do my rounds before Mangal Arati, and I would read after Mangal Arati. And he developed a taste for reading Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, you know what Prabhupada said? He said, all of my disciples, and that includes his grand disciple, all of my disciples have to read all of my books or they will fall down. So if you don't have a taste for reading, you should get scared and start reading. By reading, you'll develop a taste. This focus is because we have to understand the philosophy. There are many sahajas, many types of Vaishnavas out there nowadays, with different philosophies. Some of them say, well, just forget about sadhana, just come straight to Raganuga. You see? Just come straight to Raganuga. Forget all these rules and regulations. You may think, oh, that sounds pretty good. I don't have to worry about rules, I'll just chant, go into the ecstasy, go into bhav. Not worry about any rules and regulations. That's how you have to read the books. You have to understand why these rules and regulations are important. There's so many reasons we have to read these books. And how can we understand that I am pleasing my spiritual master, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said the temple president and the GVC are there. That was his answer for that question. Now, who's your local, who's your authority? Whose authority you're working with locally? Is he pleased? Well, if he's pleased, then your guru is pleased and Prabhupada is pleased. Please your local authority. Please tell us how you came to the conclusion that it was Prabhupada's feet and you are going to surrender. Yeah. Well, I was looking for a spiritual enlightenment. I tried so many things that nothing worked for me to bring me out of the misery of material existence. But then I discovered Krishna. And I understood that Krishna was God. And that I had to renounce this world and fully engage in spiritual life. But I could never really do it on my own intelligence. Because I didn't have any intelligence. I didn't have any brain. So I understood that in order to actually come to the spiritual platform, I could think about the spiritual platform, but I couldn't actually be on the spiritual platform until I surrendered to a bona fide spiritual master. That's how I accepted Prabhupada. we do have many quotes from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and other scriptures proving Krishna is supreme, but some people quote from Puranas the mode of passion and ignorance that other demigods are the supreme. How do we answer them? Well, it depends on how submissive they are. If they're totally submissive, you can tell them this. I don't know about here in India, but in America, the government is making all efforts to convince people to stop smoking. Smoking is bad. Here also, to some extent in India they do, and there's a warning on cigarette packages. There's so many things. Cigarette smoking is bad. But in many airports in the U.S., they have special rooms called smoking rooms. In Hong Kong also, I've seen. I don't know about India, but in the airport, they have a smoking room. Especially, what was that one country or someone? I think it was, I forget what country. I travel all over the world. There was one country, the smoking room was, they had it real fancy, but you go in the smoking room, and there, smoking is supreme. You see? This one room, they had all kinds of cigarettes for sale, all kinds of ads. Cigarette smoking is wonderful in the smoking room, you see. You go into the smoking room, I remember seeing in different airports, everybody's in there, they're all smiling, you know. And chatting away, we can all be together and smoke. Here, smoking is supreme. So in that smoking room, yes, smoking is the supreme. It's a facility for those who can't come completely clean, so they don't go completely crazy. At least it gives them, you know, they don't go completely crazy and start killing somebody or something like that. You see, at least they can go there and have their satisfaction. Yes, smoking is supreme in their smoking room. You see. But the people outside of the smoking room, they say, oh, those people are crazy. Smoking is bad for you. So in the same way, the Puranas give facility for people in different modes. And, you know, if you're into this sort of mode, well, you can say Shiva is the supreme. And be confirmed in your little world that, yes, here are Durga is the supreme in this way. So for people in different modes of nature who just can't come clean yet, who aren't willing to come to the Shuddha-Sattva platform, there's facility for them so they don't go completely crazy. At least they have some way to regulate themselves and gradually come to the transcendental platform. That's why these Puranas are there, these other Puranas. It's facility for those, it gives them some way to gradually come to the perfection, even though they can't come to it right now. By worshipping that demigod, they can gradually come to the perfectional stage. The Bhagavad Purana, you see, what we follow, Amalam Puranam, it is the spotless Purana, you see, beyond any tinge of passion, goodness, or ignorance. If you want liberation from this material nature, you have to worship Vishnu or Krishna, the Supreme. How do you recommend one to read Prabhupada's books? Standard thing, well, there's Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. I recommend whatever is. I mean, we have Bhagavatam class for the beginning devotees. And it's not a hard and fast rule. You can't read Bhagavatam at all until you finish the Gita. But I do recommend. I mean, there's no hard and fast rule because Prabhupada's purports give you everything you need, even if you're starting with a Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada had us selling those to the non-devotees in the airports, Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the highest level of Vedic knowledge. The standard thing is Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then along with that, you know, Nectar Devotion, Krishna book, Shirsha Upanishad. Read every book cover to cover, that's the main thing. Focus on doing Gita and Bhagavatam first, but you can do other readings along with that. We don't recommend reading other books. Even books written by Prabhupada's disciples, sometimes they put their mistakes in them. I heard there's one book circulating now, which is, these books, you got to be careful, these other books. There's one book, some godbrother has written, and it, with sahaja tendencies mixed in. So we have to be very careful. That's why we have to read Prabhupada's books. And become very, very expert in Prabhupada. Somebody wrote a book about Prabhupada's pastimes, and I was part of the book. But they put misinformation about me in the book. So devotees sometimes make mistakes because they're conditioned souls. They've been writing books. So the main thing is stick to Prabhupada's books. Other books we can read, but the main thing is Prabhupada's books. They are the authority. Can you please share any of the incident with Prabhupada? Yes, I'm having one right now. I'm having reciprocation with Srila Prabhupada right now. He's blessing me that I can give his mercy to you all by coming here tonight. Prabhupada is simply wonderful. And by his simply wonderful mercy, we will all become simply wonderful and go back to that simply wonderful abode in Goloka Vrindavan and be in Prabhupada's association and Krishna's association for all of eternity. Problem with devotee relationship, how to overcome it? Worship that devotee. Many times while being in the association, we start seeing devotees materially. Same answer, worship the devotees. The same answer for this question. We start seeing devotees materially, which may lead to offenses. How to avoid and develop spiritual vision towards devotees? Same answer. Worship them. Krishna says, Ye me bhakta jana parata osana prita. If you're my devotee, na me bhaktas. You're not my devotee. But if you're the devotee of my devotee, then you are my devotee. So you want to be a devotee of Krishna? Yes or no?
Yes.
Then be a devotee of the devotees. We see many acharyas and other pure devotees going through a lot of problems or challenges in their life. Is it like that unless one goes through such challenges, one cannot be a pure devotee? Not necessarily. Krishna has a custom package for every devotee on how to become pure. He has a custom designed purification pathway for each one of us, according to our past pious and impious activities, according to our nature which we are manifesting. Krishna gives each and every one of us certain circumstances that are just exactly what we need to become pure devotees. Some devotees require a tremendous amount of ordeals and difficulties to purify themselves of previous sins. And some who are more purified don't require so much ordeals and difficulties. So one should not be envious of others. I'm having great difficulty, others that are not having. No, you're being blessed equally as everybody. Krishna is blessing everyone equally. His mercy is flowing equally upon every single devotee. So in this way you have to see. Okay, anything else? We exhausted the questions now. I don't see any more questions. Here comes one more. Okay. When we go to the college environment, it's surcharged with material vibrations. Friends and colleagues are all talking about material desires to achieve something, accruing good jobs. Thus we are sometimes being fascinated by it and start working too much hard for it. How to avoid it? Shastra Chakshus That's why you have to read Prabhupada's books. You have a tendency to study and using it for material education. That same tendency you must use even more enthusiasm, more determination, more diligence to read Prabhupada's books, because then by being fixed in what Prabhupada is saying in his books, in your heart, you have corrective lenses to see everything through Prabhupada's eyes, you see, when you're out in the university. Instead of feeling attracted to all of this stuff, you feel sorry for the poor soul, you see. I really feel sorry for these people. They're thinking that a job will make them happy, a good paying job will make them happy. Actually, job means slave. Do you know why the universities, the big corporations invest so much money in the universities? These universities are training grounds for slaves, corporate slaves. I don't want to discourage you, but I'm just telling you the bit. You're not going to be happy by getting a nice little degree and getting a nice little job out there in Corporation Loca. It's not going to make you happy, I guarantee you. It won't make you happy. I had that realization when I was a college kid. As he mentioned, I was making good grades. I was, they called the Dean's List for the high achievers. I was on the Dean's List regularly. And I was thinking, but I was kept thinking, here I am working so hard to make good grades, to get a good degree, to get a good job, to get a good wife, to get a good house, and a good car, and some good kids, to get, for what? To get a good grave, a nice casket. Of course, here they cremate, but in America, I never even heard of cremation when I was a kid. There they put you in a coffin, you see. I was thinking, what's the point? You know, just to get a good coffin, 6 feet under the ground, you know, I'm working so hard. It didn't make sense. I couldn't even choose a major, you know. I couldn't even choose a field of study, but I want to be this, that. It didn't make any sense to me. I just want to know who I am. I want to know who I am. What is the purpose of existence? But nobody at the university could tell me then, you see. So I lost interest in so-called higher studies. Because they wasn't giving me the higher education I really wanted, you see, to know who I am. I lost interest. I dropped out. Why did I drop out? Because I wanted to become self-realized. Actually, I dropped out to come to India and be a sadhu. I wanted to completely renounce the world. I dropped out of school to come to India to be a renunciate. But on the way, heading towards India, something said, you should go to San Francisco. A little voice inside said, go to San Francisco instead. So I went to San Francisco in December of 1968, during the hippie era. Haight-Ashbury, a famous hippie mecca. I went up to the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood. I went into the famous Gold Gate Park where all the hippies would hang out. And what did I see? Hare Krishna, Hare Nam party. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the seed was planted in my heart, and then gradually I joined. It took a couple of years, but 71 I finally joined. Because I wanted to know who I am, what is the purpose of life, and the university wasn't giving it to me. But we encourage you to remain. Prabhupada actually encouraged the devotees. I'd already dropped out by the time I joined the temple. But devotees who were actually attending, who were still enrolled, Prabhupada encouraged them to finish their degree. He liked that determination, you see. That you've begun this, now you finish it. He'd like that determination. So Prabhupada encouraged devotees who were enrolled and joined that they should finish their studies. He encouraged that many, I know many devotees who finished their studies because Prabhupada wanted them to finish their studies. Sometimes devotees would say, that I have one guy by the Ravina Sarup, he was working on a PhD. Devotees said, oh, this is important, just drop out. But Prabhupada personally told him he should finish his degree. Sometimes I fear to preach as I may not be following everything when I'm speaking. So how to resolve this? That's simple. Follow the process. If you're not following it, then you just start following it. Can we serve Krishna by material advancement? Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you become, if you can advance materially like a Bill Gates or a Stephen Jobs and make billions of dollars and use that for Krishna, this movement, that'd be very nice. Make billions and billions of dollars for, just imagine what we had billions and trillions of dollars that we could use for spreading Krishna consciousness. We could buy all the radio and TV stations in the whole world. It'd be nothing but Krishna consciousness, you see. Buy all the magazines and newspapers, just every billboard in the whole world. We bought every billboard in the whole world. Everywhere you go, there's Bhagavad Gita, Krishna. Yeah, all you can see, there's no more naked women on the billboards. Just imagine, if we have enough money, we can, you know, buy all the politicians. Politicians are just dancing dogs in the hands of the businessmen, actually. The businessmen are ruling the world right now. So if we have devotees who want to have are inclined to make millions of dollars, let them do it. But let them be pure devotees. You see, and spend that money for Krishna. People get a lot of juice in social service. But it is not highest, as we know, but then how they continue it the whole life. Because I don't know anything better. That's what. How you can continue on a lower level, the only way is being influenced by the mode of ignorance and thinking there's nothing better than this, so what can I do? Okay, anything else? Here comes one. While being in Krishna consciousness and struggling to practice and trying to be sincere, sometimes we may fall prey to the previous conditionings like lust, envy, that makes me feel guilty and discouraged. How to see and overcome such a situation? Well, the first thing is don't kick yourself too hard. It's good to feel bad you messed up, but don't overindulge in feelings of lamentation. That's another form of self-worship. See that, well, if it hadn't been for Prabhupada's mercy and Vaishnava's mercy, where would I be? So you have to always see the bright side. Even if you're messing up, making so many mistakes, and think, well, I'd be making a million times more mistakes if the devotees had not kindly enlightened me in this science. So, and Prabhupada in this connection said, especially in spiritual life, failure is the pillar of success. Even the material, and even a principle of material success is the people who were failure, they became very big success. Just like the example of Stephen Jobs, he was, his parents couldn't afford to pay his tuition. He had to drop out of school. Here he is, no education, college dropout. He was so poor, he was sleeping on the floor in his friend's apartments, gathering old soda bottles to raise a little money to buy some food. And once a week, he'd only get one good meal a week, walking across Seattle to the Hare Krishna temple. And he really loved it. He said, "I really loved it." But he was very materially in a very unsuccessful position. So even in material life, we see the people who have failed, like, and who were failing like anything, they came out of that failure very strong and became very successful. There's so many examples. Also the gentleman Edison, who invented the light bulb, he failed hundreds and hundreds of times to find something that would actually illuminate, you know, and the electricity would cause the light. Failure after failure after failure after failure. But then he became successful. So one should never be discouraged by failure. See, now I know another thing that I should not do. Every failure you have, learn from your failure. What caused me to fail? Let me study my failure to see what caused me to fail so I don't repeat the same mistake again. So in this way, use failure as a springboard for success. If you study your failures very intelligently in the light of Vedic wisdom, every time you fail, you're going to become a stronger person. If you study that failure, what did I do wrong? Why did I mess up? Is he? In this way, if you study, this is why Prabhupada's books are so important. You have to see everything through the eyes of Prabhupada's books. By doing this, you'll become a Mahabhagavat in due course. So, anything else? We can stop here. And we thank you all very much for your participating, for taking this pathway of Krishna consciousness. Kindly do it with determination, enthusiasm, and patience. And we guarantee you that you will achieve the supreme perfection of going back to home, back to Godhead. Chita Prabhupada ki jai.